We're currently touring around the country promoting our next action, which is, well, we have demonstrations outside the Edo factory every week, which I'll give you some background about in a second. But the next big thing that the campaign's doing is we're organising a summer of direct action in Brighton, and we're asking groups to come from around the country to take action, to demonstrate outside the factory and to form affinity groups and to come prepared to take direct action. I'll pass these around, which is about the Summer of Resistance, which starts on May Day 2012. But just a little bit of background about the campaign. So Smash Edo is a campaign to close down Edo MBM ITT, which is our local arms manufacturer in Brighton. And really the impetus for the campaign came out of the anti-war movement in 2003 against the Iraq war. There was a quite a vibrant, autonomous anti-war movement in Brighton where people took actions like going to US military bases in the UK, like Fairford in Gloucestershire, and taking direct action there. And on the day that war started, 5,000 people took to the streets in Brighton, occupied the town hall, and the movement was really quite vibrant. At that time, we didn't know about this factory in our town, and around December 2003, we found out about the presence of this factory by came across a press release on the web about Edo entering into a contract with a company called Raytheon, which is one of the world's biggest arms manufacturers, they were entering into a contract for the Paveway system of bombs, which were the most used bombs and missiles in the Iraq war in 2004 in the initial bombardment. Edo also, just a little bit of history about the factory. Edo began existence as a Brighton-based company called MB Metals, which then became MBM Technology, and purchased a series of patents for equipment from a company called Lucas Western Gear. And that equipment was for the VER2 F-16 bomber, which is a purely Israeli piece of equipment. It's not used by any air force other than in Israel, in the form that is manufactured and owned by the factory in Brighton. They purchased these patents, and they were purchased themselves by a US corporation called Edo Corporation and became Edo MBM. And in 2007, they were purchased again by ITT Corporation, which is a large US arms company, also involved in water and infrastructure, and they're now owned as a wholly owned trading unit by this American company, ITT Corporation, which is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. And like I say, they own the rights to manufacture this series of components for the Israeli F-16 bomb rack, including the trigger mechanism, the zero retention force arming unit, which is used in the bomb rack, and the ejector mechanism, the ERU-151 ejector. They've also designed a number of other components which are being used in weapons which Israel will use in the future. They invented something called the field replaceable connector system, which is the system which connects the bomb rack to the plane, and it's currently in use on American F-16s and probably Israeli F-16s, but it's being sold via Lockheed Martin to Israel for use on the F-35, which will be brought into use by the Israeli Air Force in the next couple of years and will replace the F-16 as Israel's main fighter plane. And that's... Edo have been very circumspect about saying that they have anything to do with supplying weapons to the Israeli Air Force, and actually they haven't admitted to manufacturing any of this equipment prior to this contract they have for the field replaceable connector system. They've now, probably because of the sale to ITT, become more open, and for this particular contract they've admitted that the system is being manufactured in Brighton, it's been exported to Lockheed Martin in the US, and Lockheed Martin in the US has sold, I think, about 60 F-35s now to Israel, which are being delivered at the moment.
So that's stuff that you've all got clear evidence about, that's not...
That's stuff which is in...
Yeah. It's in the public domain.
It's on press releases on their website. But the previous connections with the F-16, the company were very keen to hide. In fact, when the campaign started in 2004, there was a reference on their website to the VER-2 bomb rack actively manufactured in Brighton. However, when we did our first action in March 2004, all references to actively manufacturing this Israeli bomb rack in Brighton were removed from their website. And since 2004, they've denied manufacturing this equipment in the UK. They say that it's made by their US sister company, Edo Artisan. So that's a little bit of the background. Very, very complicated back in 2004, but actually less so now, because they now admit manufacturing components which are used on the F-35, which is being sold to Israel. A little bit about the campaign. We've been running since 2004, and since 2004 we've held a demonstration every week outside the factory, every Wednesday, and those demonstrations have sometimes been, you know, hundreds and up to 1,000 people really outside the factory, and sometimes they've been one or two people standing outside the factory banging pots and pans. And the actions which have been taken against the factory are fairly diverse. Like I say, there have been these noise demonstrations, but right from the beginning of the campaign we used direct action as a tactic. On the first action the campaign took, we blocked the road coming into the factory with a cage that we constructed with building site fencing, and stopped deliveries from getting into the factory for a day. And there have been scores of these blockades that have happened, aimed at economically damaging the factory. And it's worth talking about what the aim of the campaign is. The aim of the campaign has never been to have a symbolic protest or to bear witness. It's always been to close the factory down by hitting them in the wallet, by economically damaging them. And that's what we intend to do. And over the years, I think we have economically damaged the factory. Back in 2004, Edo didn't have any security systems at the factory. They didn't have security guards. They didn't have a fence around their factory. They now do have a fence, CCTV, 24-hour security. They've spent a lot of money on legal costs trying to get rid of us. And actions which have been taken have included rooftop occupations of the factory, camps in the woods at the back of the factory, which have taken place on three occasions since the campaign started, marches through Brighton and marches to the factory, you can read on Indie Media about acts of sabotage that have happened. People have gone and broken the have broken into the factory and broken the air conditioning system to stop the factory from being able to operate, and have taken various acts of sabotage, taken part in various acts of sabotage over the years, and that's happened fairly regularly since 2004. The campaign is a broadly anti-militarist campaign, and it's saying that the people, you know, people in our community aren't willing to tolerate an arms manufacturer sending weapons to the UK and the US, but and also to Israel. And there's a lot of the bedrock of the campaign does come from the Palestine Solidarity Movement. Back in 2003, when we were thinking about setting up the campaign, many of us had been to Palestine working with the International Solidarity Movement during the Intifada. Some people had been in Gaza in 2003. You know, we realised that there was a company in our community making money out of selling weapons to Israel that were being used to repress the Palestinians. And that was a lot of the motivation for setting up the campaign. During the Israeli attack on Lebanon in 2006, there was large-scale protests against the factory. There were people locked on outside the gates, locking themselves to barrels of concrete to stop deliveries coming in. And there was a day of rage held outside the factory about the Lebanon war. And in 2009, on January 17th, 2009, a group of six people from Bristol, helped out by some people from Brighton, including myself, broke into the factory during Israel's massacre in Gaza with the aim of shutting the factory down for the duration of the conflict, so that they couldn't manufacture weapons components which would be used by the Israeli military. They got into the factory and they got into the production area, caused over £200,000 worth of damage to the machinery in the factory, including putting the lathes out of operation. We know that some of that machinery, from the evidence of the managing director, was out of service for several months, way after the end of Israel's massacre in Gaza, which ended on the night of the 17th, I think. And it also shut the factory for about three or four days. The factory was completely closed. Two of those people went to were remanded in prison. Elijah Smith spent a year and a half in prison on remand before the case, and those six people were tried with another three people from Brighton, including me, who'd helped them to get into the factory, we argued in court that we were justified in our actions because Edo MBLITT were complicit in Israel's war crimes against the Palestinians in Gaza. We called evidence from Sharon Locke, who'd been in Gaza during the massacre, we spent a week questioning the managing director, Paul Hills, about his factory's supply of weapons to Israel. His strategy, first of all, was to deny everything, even as far as to deny that his factory was an arms manufacturer. That was his initial evidence to the court. And during his evidence, he was presented with hundreds of pages long dossier of evidence. He was Edo MBMITT was effectively put on trial. We said from the start of the case that we are the accusers, not the accused. And in fact, that was the case from the beginning of the trial. It was Edo on trial and not us. Paul Hills was a very unconvincing witness. He went on to give evidence that his factory did not supply components for F-16s, which was a clear lie. He denied that the equipment for the F-16 bomb rack was manufactured in the UK. He even went on to bring in one of those pieces of equipment, the Zero Retention Force Arming Unit, to show the jury and say, "We've never manufactured this piece of equipment." Why he had one in his office, I'm not really sure. He did admit that they were the design authority for these pieces of equipment. So to manufacture any of those F-16 components, the permission for the manufacture and also the technical drawings to manufacture those pieces of equipment reside at the Brighton factory and nowhere else. He didn't admit that he was lying, but the jury obviously thought that he was, and we were found not guilty in summer 2010, last year. Yeah.
It's exactly the same defence that was used in Greenham so many times, and it was just fantastic that you succeeded.
It didn't work at Greenham, did it?
No.
Well, I don't know, they got the camp closed down eventually.
Yes, but the actual narrow, the use of that defence, most of the cases that I knew about, they never allowed the evidence to be put, so we were never able to properly test it. I don't think it ever succeeded.
I think the first time it did work was in 1994. Angie Zelter, who was one of the people who'd been at Breedon, I think, and a group of women sabotaged the Hawk jet, which was bound for Indonesia, and they were found not guilty. And in subsequent cases involving Angie Zelter, actually in Scotland, she sabotaged a nuclear base in Scotland and was again found not guilty. So we can thank her for the development of that law, really. And in 2006, nine people in Derry broke into Raytheon's factory during Israel's bombing of Lebanon, and again caused hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of damage, and used the same defence and were found not guilty. So it's now a fairly established defence. The government may legislate to stop people from being able to use that defence, but it's not making any moves to do that at the moment. That's not the end of the story, however. The Smash Edo campaign has been, since 2008, we've been trying to develop the Smash Edo campaign as more than just a local campaign, but to call on anti-militarists or activists from around the UK to come and help us to shut the factory down. And you know, you might wonder why that's relevant to you. I mean, we always say that we've been campaigning now against the factory for almost 8 years, and we always say that. The amount of effort that's been put into the Smash Edo campaign, we have cost them money over the years. The decommissioning cost them money. They spent almost £1 million on trying to take out an injunction against us to stop us from protesting outside the factory back in 2006. And we fought that injunction in the High Court and won. They've had to spend enormous amounts of money on security for the factory. We say that we have economically damaged them, and with a little bit of help from people around the country, we can shut them down. And we think that would be a real success for the anti-militarist movement around the country, for the Palestine Solidarity Movement, to be able to say, we don't want X company in our communities. We will shut it down through grassroots direct action. And that's what we're trying to do, and we think it would be very significant if we succeed in doing that. And since 2008, we've tried to get solidarity really from people around the UK. In 2008 we made a movie called On the Verge about the campaign and the police's attempts to repress the campaign, and we toured around the country to about 40 locations like we're doing now to promote the movie and to talk about the campaign. The police tried to stop that from happening, and they went to the majority of the venues, you know, from Edinburgh to Newcastle to Manchester, and tried to stop the screenings by saying that we were dangerous anarchists, and by saying that the film wasn't certificated, or by saying that the pubs we were showing it in didn't have the correct entertainment licence. And that got us a lot of publicity. People were pretty pissed off that they weren't allowed to see this movie, and you know, it became the film the police tried to ban, and lots of people did go and see it. And the demo that we were building for was a demo called Carnival Against the Arms Trade, which we tried to get people from around the country to come and join us at, and hundreds of people did in 2008, and we marched with 600 to 800 people from Brighton on a Wednesday afternoon, broke through the police lines, broke into the car park, people broke into the factory, trashed the company cars and went home, and much celebration was had. And since then we've had a series of mass demonstrations where people have attempted to get to the factory from marching from Brighton, supported by people from around the UK. The police have increasingly expended a lot of resources to stop us from doing that. Hundreds of police, well, I think 1,000 police actually on Hammer Time, and police on horseback, police from different counties around the country, forward intelligence teams, etc., have been rolled out against us. In 2009, we held a May Day demonstration which was focused on the investors in Edo MBM ITT, or the investors on the New York Stock Exchange of ITT Corporation. And some of those investors were Barclays Bank, Lloyds, etc. And then we held a demonstration with over 1,000 people in Brighton, taking direct action against against the banks investing in ITT. But the police have got our number on these mass demonstrations. They've every time we do anything these days, they roll out a huge policing operation. And as a result, we want to change our tactics, and that's why we're having the Summer of Resistance next year. So the idea of the Summer of Resistance is not to put all our eggs in one basket, but to have actions every day, demonstrations every day, for at least 3 months, maybe rolling on longer than that, to hold a space in Brighton as a base for action, and for groups around the country to come and support us, to form affinity groups and to take direct action against the OMBM ITT. And yes,
are you, my concern would be was that they might move somewhere else. Are you worried that if you they close that site, that they'll pop up somewhere else, either abroad or in England somewhere else?
They very likely, well, ITT are very likely to, for one thing, the campaign is not to close down ITT. The campaign is to close down this premises of this arms company in Brighton. And that might seem like a very small goal. But actually,
I'm not saying there's any reason why
they will open somewhere else, absolutely.
I just think, you know, they'll go somewhere else and then it will cost them.
I mean, the argument long term is if everyone can have a NIMBY campaign that shuts down the arms factory in their town,
yes,
then
yes,
they can't open anywhere. So, yeah, we can only shut it down in one town. But hopefully, in the future, everyone can do that.
I think it's also that sort of collective belief amongst those of us in this movement to believe that we can do it. Because so often with these sort of enormous things, it's like we can't achieve that. And I think if one movement in one place, in one factory, shuts it down, it sends a fantastic message to other people. It is worth doing this. It can be done. As well as a fantastic message to Palestinians and people in Afghanistan and so on, that actually people have managed to shut down.
But when what I want to see is to disarm this world free.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. And to invest it into education, jobs for the people of Gaza, and to actually put on trial for those people who have actually committed violence against the human beings. And basically, what you're doing to smash ego is a correct way of going about it. But you've got bigger fish as well. Like BAE.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Edo works with BAE, it's one of their customers, and works on joint programs with them. And you know, and why do it now is another question. You know, why does it matter in the context of this massive attack on people's livelihoods from the state, on people's benefits, on people's housing, on people's jobs, on people's pensions? But I mean, I think it's a part of the same struggle. You know, if you look at the cuts, last September, the defence budget was comparatively the budget which has cut the least. If you look at the Iraq war, $1 trillion to kill 1 million people in Iraq,
is what we spent effectively since 2003. You know, you can see the war drums beginning to beat actually for Iran in the last couple of months. All those news stories about the the dossier that was released in 2003, etc. You might see some of those stories being repeated in the press next year in preparation for an attack on Iran, either by Israel or including the US and UK.
Well, that's been ramped up in media as well. That Iran must be attacked because he's producing nuclear power and electricity. They believe that he's producing power. Today, any oil spill is bad for human beings. Until people decide to disarm this world, we're not going to get an oil.
How big is Edo? 146 people.
Right, well, that's a small firm compared to BA, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right,
well, they all live on the target of individuals. His parent company isn't, it's one of the largest engineering companies in the world, so it's.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that you've got a small firm of 146 people, and you've got thousands in BA. Now, every connection with arms race connects with a bigger fish. Which sometimes people do it all. But also, the doors of the people of Palestine have been pressed since Israel was born in 1948. They started oppressing the Palestinians then. The British arms, US weapons, British vehicles, and no matter what. Pressure, it's followed on in the Middle East with oppression by US, Israel selling arms to each of these countries, like we've just seen in Egypt and Afghanistan, where there's a fighting riot here now from such a person like China to oppress the very human being who just wants to have a decent life. So I don't know what your two think about that.
Well, we're against the
I guess the thing is the way the campaign started was it wasn't like people sat down and goes, okay, what arms have you should we target and things like that. It was the one that happened to be in our backyard. Where it's got to now is it's got to be where, but it's also one that could be shut down. I mean, if we do succeed and it shuts down this year, next year, whatever, then maybe the second year is arms company might be a BAE system. I don't know. I've got no reason not to target that. But I think the problem is if you only target the biggest, then you won't get anywhere.
Every armament company follows on through the world.
Yeah.
When one decides, right, we'll build that weapon, transfer it over to that country, then the other country follows.
But how do you have an impact on that? How do you get set a goal you can achieve beyond? If you want to get rid of all weapons, that's great, but then what do you do as a step towards that? What's the first thing?
But also, I think the thing is, it's on their back doorstep as well. Do you know what I mean? So I think if you've got something on your back doorstep, front doorstep, back doorstep, then it feels it's something you can do on a day-to-day basis. And that actually keeps your spirit going for quite a long time. If you feel that it's on your doorstep and you can do something on a daily basis.
What does Caroline Lucas think of all this?
She's supportive mostly. She testified in the decommissioners trial for us, basically. She's made statements in the past, say, condemning the factory, I think, isn't she? Things like that. Less so since she's got into power, I think.
I spoke to her a few months ago, and I think she's waiting for information from us. We're looking into the legality of Edo's exports at the moment, and we might cook up something in the future. So watch this space.
I think it's just inside their constituency.
To get Paul Hills prosecuted for perjury. As a result of his evidence in the trial,
there's been moves to It's been looked into. Because the we don't have information about from the government about the supply of the F-16 components from Edo, because we lack that information. I don't see that we can prosecute for perjury, but I could be corrected if a lawyer wanted to look at the transcripts.
Yeah.
The thing is, the government says they don't hold information about exports from the factory. I would say that's because they're exporting illegally.
Sounds like it.
Which I'd say is why they're so circumspect about talking about their exports of components prior to the F-35 components that I was mentioning. And one of the things that we talked about when the campaign began was we wanted to take on a target that was small enough for us to succeed against. We didn't want to go up against BAE because we wouldn't win. We wanted a victory, and we always have planned to close the factory down. And we need people's support.
Some help.
Yeah. Some flyers there about how to get involved in the Summer of Resistance. And we can have a wider discussion in the SEC if people want to about arms to Israel.